onto the U.S., where the family of an unarmed black teenager who was killed by a white officer last year has filed a civil lawsuit against the city of Ferguson. Michael Brown's family is seeking $75,000 in damages in addition to attorney fees. 18-year-old Brown was fatally shot by Darren Wilson in Ferguson, Missouri. The shooting turned into a national debate and sparked widespread protests against police brutality. The killing was reviewed by a grand jury, which decided not to charge the officer. Michael's parents say they have new forensic evidence that challenges the police version of the events. Well, to discuss that further, and I joined Ms. Pamela Means, who is with the National Bar Association, and she is joining us now on the line from Missouri. Ms. Means, thanks for joining us here on Press TV. What are your thoughts now that we're getting this news of this civil lawsuit against Ferguson by the Michael Brown family?
Well, I think it's a very typical step in the process. Once the criminal process is completed, we normally see in these type of cases civil litigation that goes forward. Where the family seeks monetary contributions for the loss of a loved one. So it's a standard move that is made on behalf of the family.
As you say, a standard move, but of course, a very emotionally charged issue, of course, because of the police brutality we've seen in the United States. Do you think that there will be accountability through such lawsuits?
Well, you know, it's really hard to make a determination, but you are exactly correct. You know, on the heels of what we saw in Oklahoma, what we saw in South Carolina, what we're now seeing in Baltimore, this is America's epidemic. And if she doesn't deal with it properly, we may see the stages of a new civil rights movement happening across her state line. Whether or not the family gets recourse will depend on a bunch of things. You know, St. Louis County is predominantly a largely a non-diverse population. It is a largely a white population because it is joined for all of the 90 counties. And you're going to see a jury that looks more like Darren Wilson than you will see a jury that looks like Mike Brown. It is hard to determine, you know, what a family will do. The standard by which they have to measure this evidence is quite different from the standard that you measure the evidence in a criminal case. In a criminal case, they were looking at the standard of whether or not the officer acted reasonably under the circumstances to stop the danger that he perceived. What I perceive in the National Bar Association perceives to be a very subjective standard. Here in the civil case, we're looking at a negligence killing. And you're looking at a burden of proof of is it more likely than not that negligence on the part of the police department more likely than not negligence on the part of officer caused the death of the individual. The biggest hurdle that the family may be looking at and facing is the law of qualified immunity that is dealt with in cases like this. So whether or not they'll come out victorious, it's kind of difficult to say. A lot of these cases don't go to trial. They may settle before there is a trial. But trying to predict the outcome is kind of different until we see the evidence that's going to be offered by both the family and by the city. And given that the family is now saying that they have some new evidence that will contradict some of the things, they're kind of difficult to know what evidence they'll put in front of the jury.
And finally, looking at the macro issue here, many people say that the system is stacked against African Americans in the United States. Do you agree with that? Is it the law, or is it the way the law is carried out? How do you see that?
I think it's actually the law, and it's not stacked against African Americans. It's stacked against Americans. Period. The case of Tennessee versus Garner that was decided by the United States Supreme Court said that it gives an officer the right to elevate force to that degree that he or she believes is reasonable to stop the danger that they perceive at that time. That's the reason why you hear sayings such as, I feared for my life, I thought he had a gun, and based on that, was it reasonable for him to shoot and then it becomes justifiable? What we see, though, in the African-American and black and brown community is that there's an innate fear and an innate reaction of believing that those individuals are more prone to be danger just in being of themselves. So there is an X sometimes that is placed on or how the police decide to actually enforce the law, when they decide whether to escalate force in an African-American community or a brown community as opposed to de-escalate. And I'll give you one perfect example. Young man, white man in South Carolina, goes into a store. He robs a Walmart store, tries to take a cash register, leads the police on a high-speed chase. Police catches him. He grabs for the police officer's gun 3 times, and the police doesn't shoot him. But in Ohio, we have an African-American gentleman standing, talking on the phone, leaning on a toy gun, and they immediately shoot him down. In Ohio, we have a white man that walks out into the street, points a gun at the crowd, and the cops don't shoot him down. They calm him down. But yet you have a 13-year-old boy in the same state playing with a toy gun, and within 0.06 seconds, they shoot him down. There is a difference between the way the police police African-American communities than how they police white communities. And at the center of that is America's felt to deal with the issue that sits in the room, and that's racism. And that's not something that we can shy away from, because if we don't deal with this issue, and we look at the South Carolina case, I just wonder, without that video, would we have ever gotten the truth? So I think it is the law that gives an officer discretion to use elevation of force based on what he believes is reasonable. And then it's that officer's use of that reasonableness and then his belief of where African Americans and whether they're prone to be dangerous or not, and how they then apply the use of that force. So I think it's a combination of two. I think Congress has an obligation to change the standard that was set by the U.S. Supreme Court. And I think police departments and city council and the state have an obligation to change the law to make it mandatory and to enforce training and stricter mental health testing that would weed individuals out who don't deserve to be on the street with a gun.
Okay, we'll leave it there at that, but certainly we've learned a lot there. That was Ms. Pamela Means with the National Bar Association, who's speaking to us live from Missouri. Ms. Means, we do appreciate you taking your time out to speak to us today.